Welcome to the Hallelujah House, where we focus on preparing the heart, home, and harvest. In this series of podcasts, we are learning what it means to abide in Christ and how to hear the voice of God. My name is Tammy Carter Adams, and I will be your host. I'm so glad you stopped by. Come on in. Okay, right now we're moving on to session 8 on page 18 in your workbook. And we're going to have Barbie open us up in prayer today. Barbie?
Dear God, we thank you so much that we're here together, those of us that are here in person and those of us that are listening on the podcast. And God, we thank you that we can join together as women and study your word and learn from you, God. Pray that today in this lesson that you will teach us how to abide in you and to grow a desire to abide in you, Lord, and draw near to you and learn how to hear your voice. God, we thank you so much that you speak to us and that our relationship with you is just as personal as it is with each other. And God, we thank you so much for caring enough to have this relationship with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Okay, so the question, what are the keys to receiving this fruit? And we're going to study, we're going to talk about Mary and Martha. So if you could read Luke 10, 38 through 42, Tracy.
As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her."
Wow. I can remember when I first heard the story of Mary and Martha. Maybe it wasn't the first time I heard it, but in my young adult years, and I just thought it was so unfair that Martha was treated kind of harshly. I felt embarrassed maybe by Jesus because she's working hard and she's working in the kitchen and she's seeing her sister just sitting there. But then as I matured in Christ, I could see the attitude of Martha, and it was more the heart that God, Christ was addressing. It wasn't her hard work he was addressing, it was her heart. Mm-hmm. And I could see me being Martha and my sister easily sitting at the feet of Jesus. And I'm just like getting really mad because I used to get mad with my sister when she wouldn't help me in the kitchen or whatever. And I just remember I could put myself in that situation. And I know Martha probably busied herself in the room and passed by several times, giving her sister the look, you know, like trying to get her attention. "You gonna come help me?" Yeah. And Mary just being enthralled by what Jesus was telling her. And she sprawled out on her feet, sprawled out at his feet, and just looking up at him with reverence and just absorbing every word that came out of Jesus' mouth. And it was a back and forth conversation. It wasn't Jesus preaching. It was probably Jesus asking her questions about herself. Mm-hmm. And she was asking questions about him, and they were getting to know each other. And that's what abiding is about, is us getting to know God in that same respect. And so I see now that Martha wanted Jesus to recognize how hard she was working. And so she was just, you know, in this frenzy, you know, trying to get the preparations made and doing the table just right and looking to see if Jesus is noticing, and he's not, you know. And but he was. And she had to point it out to him. And that's where it was her pride. And like, are you going to praise me for all the hard work I'm doing over here? You know, making you this nice hot meal. And Jesus was saying, you know, that's not important to me. The heart is important. And Mary's heart was in the right place. She wanted to get to know Jesus. And so now I see that from a totally different perspective, that story. And I love that, having a sister, you know, you can really feel that story play out.
Yeah, the way I see it is, like for me, is that I feel like I don't always have time to get into the Word, because I'm like, well, when am I supposed to do? Okay, well, when the baby naps. But that's the only time I get to cook and clean and do everything else, and it's only 2 hours, and I still need to eat lunch, and it's like, okay, well, I'm going to try to get to it, but, you know, I may not always have time, and I feel like there's always so many other things that need to get done where I know I have time. I mean, he knows that I know I have time for it, but mm-hmm. I always had these other excuses and other things to check off and make sure that get done, and I don't realize that that's the only thing that I need to do, and everything else will follow afterwards. Mm-hmm. Most of the time I don't realize that. So it's like, I have to put it on my to-do list. I have to push myself and like remind mm-hmm. myself, or even just sometimes for me, it's just putting in my headphones or putting on speaker and pressing play on the app to mm-hmm. listen to the verse or the, you know, whatever I'm following or trying to read or anything. But I think because of technology, it makes it, for me at least, it makes it a little bit easier, because I know I should be sitting with it in my hand, but I don't feel like I always have the time to. And at least I can get it in, you know, through audio. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know what I did as a mom of young kids, and I'm not going to say who scolded me, because she might listen, but I had a Bible on the toilet. She knows who she is. I don't want to embarrass her. But I had one in my toilet. I had one sitting, you know, I had a by the bathtub, like when I took a bath or whatever. And I remember someone scolding me and saying, "Well, the Lord only gets your potty time," you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, that's the time of God. It's the only time I'm alone. Because you can lock yourself up in there, you know, and they can't come. So, you know, it's just, you know, squeezing it in, you know. And God, thank goodness for God's grace, right? Yeah. I mean, he's, you know, he understands.
I always thought that this verse... Go ahead.
No, you know what she's saying. In a matter of speaking.
I always thought this verse was a commentary on works, how God mm-hmm. felt about works, mm-hmm. and how he would much prefer, or how the way to heaven is not through works, mm-hmm. but through a relationship. And so that was
It is.
Whereas Mary's making an attempt to have a relationship with Jesus, mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. become close to Jesus.
Yeah.
Martha is working, as a lot of people do in the church.
Mm-hmm.
Throw ourselves into things related to the church, or in my case, to my kids' Christian school when they were there.
Mm-hmm.
But those things don't work.
Oh yeah, and that is mm-hmm. that is the truth of the scripture. You know, the just as the history of the Bible is layered, meaning that when you go into Israel, several events happened in several different historical spots. You know, and they say it's like lasagna. You know, uncovering the history of the land. Mm-hmm. The Bible's the same way. It's like layered in truths. One story can show us pride of heart. It can, you know, it is layered in so much. And that's why, you know, a lot of times people will say, well, I read this story and I got this out of it this time, but I got this out of it another time. Mm-hmm. And that's all of it's true, you know. It's just, that's what's so amazing about the scriptures.
Yeah. Living.
I heard a song many, many, many years ago, and there's a female singer that sings it. Her name is Cece Winans, and it's called Alabaster Box.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't heard it, those of you that are listening and doing this study right now, I'm going to ask you to look it up, get it on YouTube, play it. It's called Alabaster Box. And I'm going to just read a few of the lyrics. I will not read the whole thing, but this describes why Mary could sit at his feet abiding, because of what he had done in her life. If you don't understand, Mary, according to Bible scholars, this Mary, the sister of Lazarus, was the very Mary that he had driven demons out of and had healed her soul from a life of wretched darkness. And she couldn't help but just pour her love out for him. Yes. Yeah. I promise.
Mary Magdalene was the one that had demons.
It's the same Mary, according to some Bible scholars. Now, that could be a disagreement with others, but mm-hmm. that's the way I've heard it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can agree or disagree, but that's who this song is written about anyway. And it gives you the reason why she would be sitting at his feet, loving him because of what he had done for her in her life. There's just a verse in here that's really cool. It says, I can't forget the way life used to be. I was a prisoner to the sin that had me bound. And I spent my days, poured my life without measure into a little treasure box I thought I'd found. Until the day when Jesus came to me and he healed my soul with the wonder of his touch. And so now I'm giving back to him all the praise he's worthy of. I've been forgiven, and that's why I love him so much. I've come to pour my praise on him like oil from Mary's alabaster box. Don't be angry. And she could be singing this to her sister. Don't be angry if I wash his feet with my tears and I dry them with my hair. You weren't there the night he found me. You didn't feel what I felt when he wrapped his loving arms around me. And you don't know the cost of the oil in my alabaster box.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reason she sat at his feet.
Mm-hmm.
And
I knew it was the same Mary that went in and poured the expensive oil on his hair and cried at his feet.
Mm-hmm.
But I did not know that was Mary of Magdala, because I thought Mary of Magdala was a separate person. I thought she was Mary of Bethany.
Well, Mary, I don't know. I've just heard it said like that, mm-hmm. that the Mary who Jesus drove the demons out of, and she spent her life as a prostitute. And that's
but you
how
know what
she
he
bought
said,
the oil.
He did say her sins were great mm-hmm. when Mary, whether it's Mary Magdalene or Mary of Bethany, mm-hmm. when she did put the oil, I know that was the same Mary as Martha's sister, the oil and the hair.
Mm-hmm.
And he did say, because her sins were great.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows, you know, whichever
it
one it
is. And it's something that everybody can go now and do a little bit more study on and look into themselves,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know there's some confusion in the Bible as far as there's so many, there are several Marys in the Bible and mm-hmm. keeping them.
Yeah.
Because it was a common name
mm-hmm.
As far as who was who.
We do know it wasn't Mary, the mother of Jesus.
We do know that. We can alleviate that one.
Yes.
Okay. So, okay, where are we as far as, okay, so we're going to move on now to Proverbs. I think we've more than covered that. Proverbs 4, 1 through 7 and 20 through 23. Liz, if you can read that.
Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. For I too was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. Then he taught me and he said to me, take hold of my words with all of your heart, keep my commands and you will live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom and she will protect you. Love her and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom, though it cost all you have. Get understanding. And then verse 20 through 23. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what is necessary for the word to become real and powerful in our lives, and how does this practically work?
When she was reading that, I wrote, take hold of my words with all your heart.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Be open to them.
Yeah.
Pay attention.
And when you take a hold of something, you have to grasp it. You have to close your hand around it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very active thing. It's not passively sitting back.
Mm-hmm.
It's going after, you know, taking a hold of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you've got it. You don't just sit back and go, okay, God, here I am. Do it. You know,
mm-hmm.
you participate.
Yeah.
And you show effort and you show God. You're serious about this. You want what he has for you.
Mm-hmm. That's good. also, like when you are reading scripture and suddenly you feel something kind of stands out. Let's say you're reading a passage of scripture and there's one verse that really makes you like, it stimulates your heart, so to speak. You know, it makes you, your heart kind of, you know, like that's really speaking to me right now in my situation. And just camping on it, you know, journaling it, writing that verse down and just really praying over it and asking God to reveal what he's trying to say to you in that verse. And we're called to, Richard points out, we're called to stay with it, pay attention until the words and the truth of the living words get into the middle of our hearts, our souls, where we understand them and we're receiving them and processing them and then believing them. So it's a process. Mm-hmm. And praying over the promise of those words. So that's how it practically works.
I love how it says get wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't just say receive. Again, it's that actively.
Yeah, you have to go after it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. He gives it all to us. Mm-hmm. And all we have to do is open it up and read it.
It's like he wants to make sure that we want what he has to offer.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to force it on us.
Mm-hmm. He wants to see our desire.
Yeah.
You know.
He wants our desire.
He wants us to seek him. And you will find him. So we're going to flip on to page 19. How does this work and what does it mean in terms of practicing this every day? So Prim, can you read Jeremiah 15:16?
Your words were found and I ate them, and your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts.
Okay. And here, when it's talking about, I know it's kind of a weird phrase that we're going to eat his words, but what it's talking is going back to that sheep, you know, the sheep analogy, and how a sheep eats its grass, it chews on it for a long time before it swallows this grass. And that's what we are supposed to be doing when we are reading the Word of God. And if a verse starts to make your heart flutter or make you, you know, just kind of stand out almost as if it's bouncing off the page to you, then that's the verse God is trying to get your attention on.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants you to chew on it a while, you know, and think about it. So, okay, Luke 2:41-52.
Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. When Jesus was 12 years old, they attended the festival as usual. After the celebration was over, they started home to Nazareth, but Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents didn't miss him at first because they assumed he was among the other travelers. But when he didn't show up that evening, they started looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they couldn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem to search for him there. 3 days later, they finally discovered him in the temple, sitting among the religious teachers, listening to them and asking questions. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. His parents didn't know what to think. "Son," his mother said to him, "why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been frantic, searching for you everywhere." "But why did you need to search?" he asked. "Didn't you know that I must be in my father's house?" But they didn't understand what he meant. Then he returned to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. And his mother stored all these things in her heart. Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and all the people.
Hmm. So Jesus gives us a perfect visual of what abiding is like himself as a young boy. And when we went to Israel, Tracy and I, we went together on an Israel trip, and that's where we developed our friendship. I remember her pointing to some steps that led up to the temple. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "These are the teaching steps." And I said, "What do you mean by that?" And she said, "Well, Jesus, this is where the scholars would stand around and sit on these steps, and the young boys would ask questions, and the scholars would answer, and it was a back and forth communication." So when you think of Jesus staying behind and being on the teaching steps with these, you know, with these Pharisees or whoever, the elders that were there, the scholars, and he's almost teaching them. But he's probably asking a lot of questions too, but they're probably wowed by the depth of his questions. And that is what it's going to be like when you're abiding. And going back to that passage or that verse that sticks out to you, when you're journaling it, you're not just writing it in your diary. What that is you're going to write in questions to God. What are your questions about it? Why is this speaking to me? Lord, what do you want me to know about this? You know, you're going to write down these questions in your journal that you have of it. And then as you're writing these questions, you're going to feel like God is impressing on you an answer and write it in the journal. But that doesn't mean that right then that's what the answer is going to be. So you're going to pray over that answer. And you're going to say, is that really what you're trying to tell me as it pertains to my life personally? And so you don't want to, like, the next day move on to another one. You kind of want to go back and revisit in your quiet time that journal entry and say, you know, let's revisit this and let me camp back on it, because you want to make sure that it's ingrained, that the message is clear before you move on to another passage. Mm-hmm. And that's what abiding is about. It's simple. Just like Jesus on the teaching steps.
Can I just say something about that?
Yeah.
I'm kind of a goal-oriented person. I like to set the goal. Mm-hmm. I like to reach the goal. Mm-hmm. I like milestones to get to the goal. And, you know, so I thought, in the past, I've thought, okay, I'm going to read through the Bible, Genesis to Revelation, do it in a year, get her done, you know,
yeah,
kind of attitude. And that just, for me, does not help my relationship with the Lord, because it's this type of thing, this what I need, what my spirit needs, what my soul needs, is to sometimes spend a week on one verse.
Yeah.
But, you know, through the Bible in a year, you're going through huge passages every day.
You're huge blocks.
Huge blocks of
scripture. It's almost like you're just kind of grazing them. You know, grazing.
Yeah.
You know,
and I mean, I don't know about for other people, but for me, I've done that, and it just became checking the box.
Yeah.
Did it today. Look, I've done it 79 days in a row, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But what did you get out of it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how much communing with God did you do during that time? How much meditating on the passages and what God was teaching you was happening? Mm-hmm. Not much. Because yeah. By the time I got done with that reading, I had to get out of there and go to work, or I had, you know, like, yeah, I was doing other things. So this is so much better for me.
Yeah.
But for somebody who would think that's, like, the way to start, you know, start from the beginning, how you read a regular book, what would you suggest?
Well, I mean, I think that it's good. Obviously, the scriptures we have for a reason. So it's great to read. It's going to take a long time to read them. And I don't think that going from the beginning to the end, and that's the goal. I think that the idea is, first of all, I would start I would suggest starting in the New Testament,
mm-hmm,
because you see what Jesus did for you. You see what what Jesus is calling you to do, and how the Spirit talks to you right now. And it's easier to get through the New Testament. Mm-hmm. And then after you have developed that understanding, then to go back to, and you can, you know, mm-hmm, tell me what you think about it. But then I would go back. Plus, when you're reading the New Testament, there's a lot of scripture that refers back to the Old Testament. If you had a study Bible, mm-hmm, get a good study Bible, and then you can read footnotes as you're going through and look back to what it refers to. Because the Old Testament is, Jesus and the Holy Spirit are all in the Old Testament, and it's set up to where Jesus comes for us,
mm-hmm,
you know? So I think the New Testament with study, and then you can go back and start getting Old Testament. But it's, mm-hmm, it's such a massive, overwhelming thought to just go in there as a new believer, mm-hmm, and get through, you know, Revelation, mm-hmm, Revelation, yes, is very difficult too, but, you know, I would do
the Gospels.
Mm-hmm. I would do the Gospels.
And the parables.
There is a Bible called a chronological Bible, mm-hmm, that it would be a really cool idea for you, Prim, because it's not in the order that it is right here, because the way that this is written, it doesn't necessarily go in order of time, mm-hmm. but the chronological Bible does, in order that the books were written. And it's really cool because it lines it up historically for yeah. with time periods. Mm-hmm. You read it all the way through chronologically. Mm-hmm. And I've heard that, now I'll be honest with you, I've never done it. I have friends that have done it, and I've been wanting to get me a chronological Bible. I've been telling Rob, that's what I want to get for like Christmas. Mm-hmm. It's a chronological. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah. When did you get, you got a Bible for your anniversary?
She's like, how romantic.
I know.
Well, it would be for me because that's what I want.
Well, the other thing, and I'll show you my Bible later. John and I both got a Bible in the last year, and I had seen it from somebody. There's a girl who goes to the church who is a new Christian, and she got baptized earlier this year, I think, and she got saved last year. And she showed me the Bible, and she has now been through it twice in the 2 years that she, you know, somebody gave her a Bible. She started reading it. She was very interested, went and found this other Bible. It's a study Bible. And I looked at it, and I said, this is the coolest Bible. I'm obsessed with this Bible. Like literally, I was dreaming about this Bible. And finally, I said, John, I think I should spend the money on get this Bible because I really want to study. Like, it makes me want to study so much. And it's the New Living Translation, but it has timelines. It has so that you can see what was going on during these books of the Bible, what was going on in the history mm-hmm. of the world at that time, as far what was going on in China mm-hmm. then. So, and it was like Stonehenge here, mm-hmm. Great Wall of China here. And it gave me such a good perspective I've never had. I never thought about it in terms of that.
Yeah, that's
good. So there's so much good in there, and I'll show it to you. It's got all the, and it's an illustrated Bible. Oh. So there's lots of things to look at in there mm-hmm. that are very helpful too. Mm-hmm.
Another thing is this, is that, you know, I agree with a new Christian starting off in the gospel books, because I think that those are actually the most important of the Bible is, you know, and it kind of sets the stage for you as far as the gospel and instilling that in you first, you know, as far as Jesus's teachings. But as far as reading through the Bible, sometimes we do tend to get on that wheel. I gotta finish this. It doesn't get in our heart. And so what I do is, I don't think you need to read through the Bible in that aspect of it, but in Bible studies, you could do a Bible study on Genesis. Mm-hmm. And as you're doing reading, you know, it might give you a few verses to read. Just read the whole chapter and circle the number so that you read that. Mm-hmm. And I'll do that periodically. I will read, you know, the whole chapter if I'm working on a Bible study, if I'm just having my quiet time. So that way, and then I'll circle that chapter knowing that I've read that chapter. It doesn't have to be the Bible through Genesis to Revelation in order like that, you know. Just as you're reading, you know, if your devotional has one verse, read the whole chapter.
Yeah.
You know, see the context where it's, and then circle it. And then you say, okay, I did that. And then you can spend time abiding, you know, and reading through your Bible.
And that'll still let me feel like I've got goals and milestones.
Yeah, you still feel like you got goals and milestones, but you're using it, you know.
Look at all these circles in my Bible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Okay, have we done Luke 2, 41 through 52?
We did.
So we are done with this one?
Yes.
So your question is this way of abiding in the new word regularly happening in my life, and why or why not? And we will see you tomorrow. On page 20 in your workbook, there is an instruction page on abiding in the Word. And I'm just going to give you an overview of that, but this does not include all of the instructions. But what I instruct my class when I'm leading my class in abiding is that what you do is you start with something you're interested in. Because the biggest question is, where do I start in the Word? Where do I start reading? And so sometimes God makes you interested in something. Sometimes it's Him that plants the interest in your heart. So something that you're interested in the Word, or a question you may have, that's a good place to jump in and start there. And what you're going to do is you're going to read the verses before and the verses after, because you never want to read just that verse. You want to read a surrounding passage so you know the context of the scripture.